Hey there, and welcome to the Maria Gonsalves podcast for mediumship, intuition, and tarot. I am your host, Maria Gonsalves, an evidential psychic medium, mentor, and author. And I created this podcast to get rid of the fear of developing your spiritual gifts. So if that sounds like your sort of conversation, then hit that subscribe button and listen in. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Maria Gonsalves podcast. I'm your host, Maria Gonsalves, and today we have a special guest who is local, which I love, from Ontario, who is Teresa B., who is an intuitive. She is known as a runes caster, as the main tool she uses in Norse Celtic runes. Did I say that right, runes?
You did.
Okay, good. She offers Norse and Oracle card readings, Norse runes readings, channeling, animal communication, Akashic records readings, house clearings. Is there anything else that I missed?
I do a fair amount of mentoring for people who are wishing to bring up their intuitive gifts again. Because, you know, we have a tendency to submerge them in our cultures and society. So I help them reopen again. So yeah, that's it.
Oh, I love that. I was sharing with you before we got on screen, as I was looking for more people, for guests, for the podcast, your name kept coming up through multiple friends that I know. And I just want to say here, you are so well respected within the community. So I think it's important because we don't hear that enough. So I'm letting you know, all the people, so many people were recommending that I search you out and get you on the podcast. So I'm so grateful that you said yes today.
That is very, very kind. And I appreciate that because you're right, Maria. We work a little bit, even within community, we work in a vacuum and we need that confirmation. We're human beings as well as spirit beings. So we need that confirmation as humans. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. It is nice to hear once in a while. We know we do good, but we don't see the rest of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we trust spirit with the readings that, and whatever happens, knowing everybody's okay and whatever came through in the readings was for their highest good. But yes, it's always good to hear when people are like, yeah, that touched my heart.
Yes. Yes. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So for people that are wondering, you are located in Guelph, Ontario, and I'm in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. That's why I was saying she's a local girl, because we're not that far away from each other.
No, it's for sure. Yeah.
So
yeah, I like it up here.
I love Guelph. It's a nice drive out there. It's beautiful. Yeah. So I wanted to learn more about runes. Honestly, I know nothing about it. I have heard some are made of wood or plastic. I don't really understand. And I'm sure a lot of listeners or viewers watching are curious, because I've always been curious about getting a reading, but I don't understand how it works. So if you could explain to us what that is.
Okay. All right. So almost everybody knows tarot and or taro, however you want to pronounce it. A very ancient divination tool or system. Within the images on the cards and the intention in the cards is a variety of different pieces of information. And we as card readers can link that available information to the person. Runes are exactly the same. They are, what I say whimsically, they are the Norse version of tarot. They are as ancient. We don't know how far back they go because a lot of the runic information and lineage was destroyed by the incoming populations trying to change the Norse peoples. So, but we know that they're at least 1,500 years old. And it started as the wise person of the village community throwing sticks up in the air or casting sticks up in the air. And they would land in various shapes. And that would correspond to the Norse Atir or alphabet. And so when you look at runes, and I'm going to show you one in a second, they look very angular. because they
Yes.
used to be sticks of wood. And the wise ones would know what each letter meant. So I'm going to show you.
I have a question because I've heard people say that they used to be done with bones. Is that true, or is that a completely different reading altogether?
That's a different system. There is bone
Okay.
casting. And we, you know, I
Oh,
know
okay.
of one person in particular uses bones or representation of bones, and they're casted as well. And I think that's where the confusion goes.
Okay.
So this is one of the 24 runes, and this one's Birkanna. It's a female rune. And you can see how linear it is. And so within this letter is all sorts of levels of information, from emotional status, time of day, time of year, where the sun is, what group it's for. Like I said, it is primarily for females, though it will occasionally come forward in a reading for a male. And it is about the wonders of a new life. It is about opening to the challenges of an unknown life, because this is the rune of childbirth, of starting that new life that you have no idea what that life is. And so historically, this rune was painted on the doors of a house where a woman was in labor.
Oh, wow.
And so it was, so it's very, very positive. It's very light invoking. And so when someone's pulling this rune, it is because they're about to embark on something brand new and wondrous, and something that they don't know anything about. So that's the sort of thing that each of these various letters brings forward. This is Winjo. This is the rune of joy and celebration. It's also the rune of committed relationships, of marriages, this sort of thing. And historically, a lot of people are very concerned that there's a dark side. And I think that was because the Nazis were using it in dark ways. But you and I both know that energy can be used in either direction. And
Yes.
it is up to the person utilizing that energy or utilizing that system to choose between the energies of love and light or the more lower frequency energies.
Intention is important and
So important.
do no harm to the person you're
Exactly.
offering the reading. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. My primary intention, or my foundational intention, is to do the highest and best good for all, but also to empower people through the information they receive, and to use their intuitive energy in the readings. So I have them, when I'm in person, pull the runes themselves. I don't cast up.
Okay.
I have them come in contact with the runes. And these are our cedar. They're from England, where I did my training. And they are actually from cedar beams from a deconsecrated, very old church. And so they have a very long history. And I've had them for, I don't know, 15 years or so. So I love them
So
dearly.
they would have a vibration to them, wouldn't they?
Yes. And again, it's this vibration, this sense of almost holiness because of the space that they were in. And just because that church was deconsecrated, so that intention was removed from it, the energy is not removed. And you and I both find that when we use cards, or I'm using my runes, that if I don't use them for a while, they don't like it. They like to be used. They like to be part of activity. So they're funny that way. They're
I
very
find,
intentional. So.
yes, I'm a tarot card reader. I love my tarot. I use the traditional Rider-Waite deck for readings. Like that specific is just for readings. And it has a different energy than the other decks that I have that are for play. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
It's like,
I
because
do.
there's an intention, right? It's like we're offering the reading for the person in front of us. And there's this whole sacredness with, like my tarot deck, which I'm going to assume with your tools too, there's that sacredness. And then, well, I'm guilty of having like 100 decks. tarot, oracle, angel, you name it, I probably have one of those decks. Affirmations, there's just healing deck. Like, there's so many kind. Like, once you go in the rabbit hole, you can hang out there for, oh, this house would turn into a museum, I tell you, because I would be like, if I won the lottery, I'm gonna have like a million tarot deck. That's so funny. Do you just only use those runes, or do you have more? Are there different? Do they
No.
have colors? Like, I'm just curious visually about them.
As a professional caster, I have one set and I honor that set by using only it. My daughter gave me a lovely deck of rune cards and for Christmas this past year. And I like to play with those to see what they're like, but I do not have another runes deck. So I treasure this because we are connected. When I first received them, I slept with them under my pillow, under where my chest is, and really worked with them, meditated on them. So just like your tarot deck, I'm very, very connected to it. I do have other systems. I have an Arabic system of crystals. I have pendulums. I have my oracle cards. I took three of Colette Baron-Reid's decks and put them into this big deck, which is what I use when I work with people. I'm a nurse. I got tired of people saying, I don't know what deck to use. So I thought, okay, I'm taking that away from you. This is what you're going to do. And it works really well because there are three of her earth decks. And so it works really well with the energy of the runes. And particularly for somebody, and you see this yourself, somebody who isn't used to doing readings or is very nervous about it, to have a visual tool for them to see and to respond to their intuition and to think, whoa, I can do this, I can be part of this, is very
Yes.
empowering for them. So I do like to use tools for people who have lots of readings or been on the intuitive path for a long time. Then direct channeling is nice because then we just fire off the conversation because that's what it is, right? So, but for some, they always like just the runes. They're purists as well, and it's like, okay, we can do that.
I love that you shared that. So as I'm thinking about it, and I am curious because I've heard even with the tarot cards, like get to know your cards, sleep with your card. Like, I don't do that. But why did you choose to sleep with your runes?
It is part of the tradition to do
Okay.
so. The actual tradition is to make your own set.
Oh.
And when I first received these sets, this set when I was in the UK, it was a bit of a departure from that system. But it was one that I felt very comfortable with. The very first time I used them, the information just started pouring out of me. I was with a fairly large group of intuitives, many of which from the Waterdown Burlington area.
Yes.
And we were in the UK doing 3 weeks of sacred walks and locations, and it just popped out. Like, was like, okay, that's my affinity and that's what I'm going with. So because I didn't make them, I took the next step in the tradition of sleeping with them.
Oh,
So,
okay. That's fascinating. I was going to ask you, but you answered my question. The training, because I was curious with the training. So within the training is, I'm assuming there's a lot of meditation. Like, what is part of the training to learn to use the runes?
just like with tarot training, it is opening up to those different levels of information, and it is learning how to almost journey with the runes. So, meditating on a specific rune is very much like meditating on a specific either major or minor arcana card, where you're going into the energy of that card. I'm going into the energy of that rune, and then talking with my mentor because it's very hard to find coursework in runes. So what I did was I mentored with a couple of runic masters, and that was really the basic way of learning to be attuned, just like we're attuned to various healing energies, then becoming attuned to the runic energies as well.
So
So,
within the runes, is there a shadow side to it? Like within tarot, you have like upright where it's all positive, and then we have the reverse where it's like where people are stuck and we have to look at like, why are we stuck here and stuff. So is there like a reverse within the rune? I'm just curious because I've never used them.
no, you're absolutely right. Like if I pull one now, I have a little bag that I keep them safe in. So, all right. So that one doesn't have one. Let me pull one out that does. Come on, guys, behave yourself. They're giving me all ones that don't count. Smarties. Okay. All right. So this is Langunes. It's one of the four main water runes. And just like with tarot or any other system, water is about the flow of universal energies, the flow of our emotions. So this is upright. So this is what's called bright stave, because each of the runes is called a stave. So this is bright stave, which means that the flow is good, and strong and powerful. But if Langunes is upside down or in what's called murk stave, it is like tarot. It's like chaos. This particular rune shows water in the form of crashing oceanic waves against the cliffs of a fjord. And so it is all about this crazy, dangerous energy that you need to understand why it's like that, and that your emotions possibly are feeling the same way. So it is like tarot, where there is an inversion. There's also, because of the type of format these runes are in, you can also get them in what's called the closed position or the upside down position. And that means where the runes have not completely formed energy around it. And very often I will tell people, okay, so it's upside down. And in some traditions, that means that the energy is very far away, some runic tradition. In other traditions, more of the Celtic version, it just means that they're still forming. And so you might come across something in 2 months and you'll kind of go, oh, right, that rune that was upside down. So sometimes it is that people are stuck or people are in chaos, which can also mean they're stuck like a tornado. But otherwise, other times it just means that because they haven't made a decision, that the runes cannot make a decision. That's the one thing about them. They're very directional. They're very Viking. It's you're going to do this, you're going to go in that direction, right? And if you're not feeling that, then you're going all over the place.
So, like when you just brought the runes up, it was blank, or was there a symbol there? And my eyes
There
are just
was,
really
yes.
bad.
Which one was it? Okay. It was Gibo, actually. And yes, there was a symbol on the other side.
Got
Yes.
glasses on. Can we see it again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
No,
this
you
is
had it blank.
this is Manes. Let me see if I can find
Okay.
Gibo. There's
I think
Gibo.
it was blank on the background, but you're saying there was something there.
Yes.
Okay.
So blank
There's
on this side,
something.
because they're all blank on one side because
Okay,
they're
that's what
flat
we
wood.
saw.
Yeah.
Oh,
And then
now
this
we
is
see that.
Gibo. Now, there
Okay.
are many runes, Rhea, like this one, that don't have a murk stave. They are the same information no matter which way you go. And when I was trying to pull out of the bag, they kept giving me these guys. And it's like, oh, come on, give me one where I can show you what it looks like in murk stave. But no, they wanted to show what they're like no matter what happens. So
I
those
love
are a
that.
bit different than tarot. Because even if it is an adverse circumstance that the person is in, there's always light at in the outcome. So,
Oh, I love that.
yeah. So this is a rune of balance. This is the rune of gifting, because that was very part of the Norse community. They were, even though we see them as barbarians, they were highly spiritual people. And they were very, very family oriented. So that's why a lot of the runes are very much about family and about community.
I am curious because your background is a nurse.
Yes.
Do you see medical stuff when you're doing that type of reading? or no?
Well, actually, I try not to because I
Okay.
don't want my nursing background to, because I was 40 years a nurse. I have a master's degree in it, and I was a researcher and a manager and such. I don't want that to flavor. I certainly use the, I'm going to use the words tools of compassion when I'm working with people and doing sessions with them. But I try not to look in as a medical intuitive. Now, if
Okay.
someone asks me to, I will do it, but I do it with great reluctance, to be honest with you.
Okay. I was just curious because I find mediums or healers, if they have a medical background, then all of a sudden they start seeing medical stuff around people. So I was just curious about that because everybody's di different. And then, two, a lot of our life experiences, right? Spirit will use that within the readings because it somehow relevant to the person in front of us.
And
So,
it is part of our package of gifts, if you want. If somebody was a teacher or is a teacher, while they're also using their intuitive talents, as you say, those wisdoms are going to come out in either their healing, their readings as well.
I love how you said the word wisdom. Their wisdom comes through.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Now, I do more, if you want to call it medical intuition, when I'm working with animals, because
Okay.
very often the animal's caregiver, I hate the O word, owner, or the farmer, or the companion for the stabled animals, this sort of thing. That's what they're looking for. They're wanting to know why something is happening. And so I do that most often with animals. But they're really clear. They'll say, this is what's going on, that's what's going on. Because they don't have that break that we have between our spirit selves and our human selves.
Yeah,
So
I love my animals. They're the best.
do too. And I am so glad that all of mine are sleeping and not bothering me right now. Thank
Are
you.
upstairs? They're good. So, before we move on to the next topic for runes, is there anything you want to share that we need to know that I don't know to ask? Because sometimes you just don't know what to ask. Something interesting about it that the average person wouldn't know about them.
I find with runes that they get to the heart of the matter, that, and I guess it's the Viking influence, that, berserker influence, that they are very no nonsense. And that's not harsh because I channel a non-harsh version. So I use the Celtic format. I often tell people that the Viking runes are more like, you're going to do what I tell you. And the Celtic version of it is more like, well, let's sit down and have a drink and talk about it. And so it is gentler, but you can't hide from them. And so if you want an answer and you want an explanation, you want some help with an issue, sometimes runes are better than cards. And if you're not ready for channeling, then runes can help you find that path quite clearly.
Oh,
Does
I
that
love
answer your
that.
question?
Yes, because I didn't know that. So it's something interesting. And I do like the direct, no nonsense kind of approach. It's like, get rid of all the fluffy stuff and let's just like meat and potatoes.
Yes, exactly. You even have to use your dominant hand touching runes, your sword arm, really. You do not touch them with your non-dominant hand. So I'm left-handed. I will only put my left hand in the bag.
I'm left-handed too. That's so cool. So, Akashic records. Again,
Okay.
another thing I don't really know much about. I hear people offer those readings. What is that?
So again, it is a trained form of reading. It is totally a different realm. Like, Maria, I'm not a medium. I certainly do speak to those who have departed, this sort of thing, but I'm not trained in that. And speaking to those who are departed is very much a very specific realm of energy, isn't it?
Yes.
Akashic records are the same thing. So, as you well know, everything in every life, sorry, my ginger cat has decided to, he needs a wee bit of love. But everything we've done, everything we've thought, everything we have said, everything we've experienced, every place we have been in the cosmos is recorded. And it's called the Hall of Records. Each of us has our own Hall of Records. And through very special prayer, do you link in? Does the reader, the Akashic Record reader, go in to that person's specific hall? Every time I do an Akashic reading, the person's hall is different than anyone else's that I've been in. Some of them are stunningly beautiful, like those ancient Baroque libraries that we see pictures of. Some of them are very computerized and almost clinical. I feel like I'm back in a hospital somewhere, or I'm on a spaceship, this sort of thing. Each time I have gone in to do a reading, I have had the librarian, that person's Akashic Lord, their Akashic guide, if you want to put it, greet me at the hall door and open the doors for me. And they usually present to me the books that are appropriate for what the person is asking. Like the last reading I did was, well, I don't know, last week sometime. And there were seven books, and they looked like these big, huge, old, hard-binded books. But when you open the page comes alive. And you see the aspect of that life that is related to the person's question. And I always tell people, this is a conversation. If you do not understand something that is coming through me, you say, whoa, Teresa, please ask about. And then I will ask the librarian, as I usually call them, to help me with this clarification. But it's very, very specific. It's my head's tingling. Just think the right hat side of my head tingles when I work with energy. Just the right side of my head. Honest to God, my hair goes out like this sometimes by the end of the day. It's beautiful and it's intense. Now, I don't know if I was with that person in another life where their hall would look different. I don't know if the halls always look different in each time we go in. I've only had a few people go in for another reading, and the hall has looked the same in that it did last time. And I don't remember anything. I don't, it's just like you. I don't keep the information. It's not mine. So I always tell people, record it because nothing's going to be here 5 minutes after we're done. And that's a form of, I'm a big one for privacy, for confidentiality. It's probably my nursing background. So I'm not going to keep it. I don't want to keep what is private and sacred to someone else. And that's the big thing. What we do is sacred. And while we laugh and we joke and I make people laugh or I make people cry, I still see it as sacred. So we have to be careful with it.
Absolutely. I think too, what happened, well, I know what happens. We're working with spirit, right? With the spirit realm. And those thoughts, those words, they're not ours, right? We're just the vessel as we
That's
blend
right.
with the spirit. Like for mediumship, I blend with the spirit world, with your spirit person. And the information that comes through, it's not mine, it's theirs. And then once that reading's done, that's gone. Maybe I remember one or two things,
Yeah.
but usually if I'm doing a full day read, I have no idea. And what I love about people, because they're my favorite, be like, oh, I love that reading you gave me, Maria. And they give me all the details. And I'm like, I got nothing. I remember nothing. Because it was never my stuff, right? It was spirit stuff.
Yes.
So you're working with like your guides or the energy, right? Please correct me if I'm wrong, but like that's not your stuff, right?
It's not my stuff. Yeah. And like I said at the beginning, I try to blend with their spirit and their intuitive gifts. And as I said, I don't normally work with the departed. I work with what I call, because everybody comes from a different energy, a different frequency, a different vibration. I call them ascended guides, the guides that, of course, are our permanent guides that do not incarnate anymore. So those are the individuals I usually work with. And if someone wants to speak to, Grandpa Joe, whatever, then we ask through them to bring that individual in. So it's not mine to keep. I
And then
wouldn't want to.
I wouldn't want to. And I'm just going to say, right, I have the worst memory as soon as I'm done. Even if I try to, it's gone. Not going to
I
remember
blame
anything.
menopause, but I think I've always been like this. I just gone.
I've always been like this. I'm just going to admit it. It's, but it I was going to say, when people tell me secrets, don't tell anybody, is like, what secret? What was it? It's gone because of my memory. It's like, don't ask me to remember stuff. That's why I'm almost like on my phone writing notes to myself because I will forget. I'm like, I need to write it down now because I will forget everything you just said to remember. I'm old school. Like, I need paper and pencil. I have notes everywhere. So that's the only way I remember. So you were talking about animals earlier. Animal communication, you light up a lot when you talk about that. So, can you share more about that? Like, what is that? How do you do it? Why did you get
Okay.
into it?
I got into it because our beloved husky was dying. And it was a very unusual form. I'm going to move my cat because he's playing with the camera. I asked for, and I cannot remember how she came into my life, but an animal communicator to come and see why this was happening to her. Because it was very fast growing, it was very unusual. And she was our beloved girl. And the communicator, who eventually became my teacher and I did my master's training with her, she said that Buffy had the cancer because of me. She took it on. I'm gonna cry. She took it on for me. So, because I had a life to live and she needed to protect me. So it was really funny. The communicator asked, was there anything specific she wanted? She wanted to die at home. She wanted some help with it. And she wanted to have Gaelic music playing, jig music playing, which was really bizarre. And so we organized it with our vet to come in. They were very happy to come into the house. And Buffy showed us where, yeah, her name was Buffy, the vampire slayer. And she showed us where she wanted to be. As soon as the music was playing, she laid down on the carpet there. And everything that I had been told blossomed and came forward. And I thought, I need to help others with this. And whether it was the nurse in me or the mom in me or just the lover of animals. And so I started training, and it was the very first thing that I learned how to do. And then I went into Reiki, and then I moved into spirit conversation. So animals are my heart. They're my biggest fear. We talk about, am I telling truth? I get from my animal communication people that when they can't get back to me, that everything I've said fits, and everything that we've done fits. I was in a barn, and this horse did not want to cross into the arena. And they had just made this brand new, beautiful arena, and it was stunning. It had lovely energy in it. And this horse was not going to go in. And so at last, they spent $100,000, and last resort, they asked me to come in and talk to the horse. And it turned out that the flooring between the barn and the arena, they had bought this special soft rubber stuff. So it made it easy for the horses to move across. And this horse was terrified of it because of a past life experience. And so when I told them about that, they were like, oh my God, yeah, that's where she stalls. It's not in the arena, it's there. And so that sort of said, yeah, this is, I am being of service, because that's what we do. We're of service, whether it's to the animals, to the trees. I go and I talk to trees before they're taken down and help them move their spirits out. The same with the land. We're here to be of service anyways.
First, I want to say thank you for sharing that story. Another thing, as soon as you talked about your beloved dog, his presence, like his spirit, was like right here. So just know that. And for people that don't know, as soon as you talk about your loved ones, whether you could feel them or not, they show up in that second. Has
They
always
do.
been my experience. And I feel like he was very energetic. Puppy. I want to call him a puppy. Even though I know he's an older dog, he has puppy energy with him. And right now I can just feel him licking me and just being very playful because that's the type of dog he was. And you would understand that, right?
And is there a sock
Yeah.
in the mouth? She used to carry socks around crying. I'm sorry, I can't help it. I need a sock. Okay, honey.
Don't see the sock, but what's interesting, as soon as you talked about your dog, I just felt him howling. Like that would be something fun he would have enjoyed doing.
Yep,
Yeah.
husky. Yes.
Yes.
Loved it. Sang with all of the sirens. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the first thing was the ow. And I'm like, okay. You got my attention here. Because your dog does feel like he has this larger than life personality. You would understand
Yes.
that for him. Like, he
Yeah.
has a huge presence and he made sure that everybody knew that in the house because he does have this playful. He wasn't the type of dog because I have one of these dogs that just kind of stays in the corner. He's like, you people leave me alone because he's coming in with this larger than life personality. So I need to acknowledge him here because he's here for you.
Oh,
And you, the
baby.
minute anybody speaks anybody's name, 9 times out of 10, I can feel their loved ones step in and say, I'm right here. No, I'm with you. So, yeah, I have to acknowledge that because he's here, so I can't ignore him.
Thank you. Thank you
You're
so much. Love you, baby. Love you.
yeah, and just know he's beside you too. But that's just one of my gifts. But what I love what you shared with the horse. So, do you see past lives in all the animals, or was it just for that specific
No.
horse?
No. And you see, just by how quickly my dog showed up, their interconnectivity with their spiritual side is, whether they're past or they're living, they automatically open to past lives. And so very often when I'm working with an animal who has had some trauma, the links to their past lives pop up right away. And so it is a very easy, so to speak, to say, well, this is because you were in a war zone with that horse or that dog, and it tried to protect you, or he tried to protect you this time. She was a female, blah, 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 all this sort of stuff. So, yeah, it pops up quickly. And many, many of our animals have shared multiple lives with us. And they're part of our soul family, or our soul group. And I even have animals who come back after passing. They'll come back for another life with that person in the same incarnation of that person. So they return. Dogs are very good at it. Cats are a little bit more reluctant. They got things to do, places to go, people to see. But the dogs are like, I'm coming back.
I love me a cat. I had a little cat. I grew up with cats. I love, well, my grandmother, she was a farmer, so we grew up with cats, dogs, cows, goats. I grew up with a lot of animals as a little kid, so it was always lots of fun. I love that with the dog. So I am curious because a while back I had somebody on the podcast. She was an animal communicator, and she talked about how our animals, we have soul contracts, And the animals that are with us, that cross over with us, like your husky, that was part of our soul contract. So it doesn't matter who they were with before. So what do you like? Do you believe that too? I found that brought me a lot of peace when I had to put my dog down because it's hard.
It is. It is. The thing that we have to remember is that animals come from the same source we do. So if we have contracts between each other or karmic agreements or however you want to term that with another soul, you're going to be my dad this time, I'm going to be your wife, whatever, this sort of stuff. We have the same thing with our animals, and they too are coming in to experience different wisdoms and lessons, or clarify different patterns, this sort of thing. And so, yeah, my animals have all had contracts with me. The dog that is living with me right now, that my lovely little Rosie, this is her second incarnation with me, and in this life. And we fulfilled the last contract, but I still needed her, so she came back. So yeah, we definitely have contracts, and sometimes we don't do a very good job, and sometimes we do a good job with it. Just like with people.
That's so true.
Roadkill is something people ask me about all the time.
Oh.
And why did I hit that deer? Why did I hit that dog? Oh my God, I killed a squirrel today. This sort of thing. What I do want to tell people is that very often, not always, but very often, animals will choose to be hit by a vehicle because something is going on inside them and they need an assisted departure. I had a long haul bus truck driver, devastated that he hit a deer, just devastated, couldn't go out and work again. And so he needed to move forward. This part of his therapy, his therapist suggested he talk to someone like myself. This deer was the first one that I realized that deer needed help because it had a tumor and it did not want a slow departure. And it knew that this fellow was a professional driver and he could handle the impact without harm to himself or harm to anybody else on the road. And so that's why he chose this driver, because he trusted him. That brought a lot of peace to this fellow. And he was able, I'm not saying it was the biggest part of his trauma, but it was an important part of healing, so that he eventually did get back on the road and back to work.
Yeah,
So.
that would be hard. Like, even when you see a squirrel, like when I break, first of all, I pray the car behind me doesn't hit me. You're like,
Yeah.
don't hit me. But you
Please.
slam on the brakes because you don't want to kill the squirrel in front of you or the cat that runs across the street all of a sudden. And like, even the other day, I was going downtown to drop my daughter off at the train station, and there was a stray dog. And I was just like, where did that dog come from? You slam on the brakes, didn't hit the dog. Dog is safe. But then we kept going. And then I went back looking for the dog because I was like, oh my goodness. Because I'm like a big dog lover and I'm thinking SPCA. But then the dog was long gone. So hopefully the dog is safe. Yeah, but slamming on the brakes. Yes.
Well, you talked about contracts.
Yes.
Sometimes these animals will, they're fulfilling a contract with you by your vehicle hitting them or your vehicle missing them. There's
Yeah.
wisdom to both, right? There's
Yeah.
learning to both. What I did in my training all those years ago was I was reminded that when we see an animal who has been killed at the side of the road, please acknowledge that animal. I know this sounds a little weird, but acknowledge it and say blessings to you. I hope that your passing was peaceful. You will always hear them saying, I'm in a better place, or thank you very much for seeing me.
Yeah.
So it's just again that connection that we're all from the same source. The
That.
tree that you're having to cut down because it's dying, or it's going to harm the foundation of your house. The animal that is lying on the side of the road who's passed because of an accident, or your own animal in your house, in your barn, on the field, in the stable, whatever. We're all the same.
Yeah.
You
Well,
know, the whales, you know, everybody.
you can see it in their eyes. They all have souls. They all feel if they hurt themselves or stub their toes. Like I know my little doggy, when we walk in the morning, when it's winter and everybody's out there salting, you know, so we don't fall down, it gets in his little paws. I hear the cry, the paw goes up. So animals do feel pain. Like, yeah.
They do.
They're just like us. They feel
They
happy.
are.
They feel sad. They get scared. They have all the emotions we have in those tiny little butt. Or some dogs are, I have little dogs. Some people have big dogs, very big, large dogs. But yes, so to honor that, I love that you brought that up. Honoring
I do.
our pets and those that are not our pets, the
Yeah.
animals that are out there. So we talked about channeling. So who do you channel? Like, what's a channeling session like with you? What does that entail?
Well, channeling is for me, it is linking to their spirit. And very often I will see their ascended guides come in. I will have some guides come in. It's almost like we're encircled by
Yeah.
those that walk with us. And then the two of us are facing each other. I do not purely go into their spirit. That's not my place. But I ask the questions, and whether it is a guide or whether it is the person or sometimes their higher self or the rest of their soul answering, but there is this big linkage going on. I find, and I don't know if you find the same thing, but if somebody, again, as I said earlier, is very used to readings, then the channeling moves the information quicker. It's also good if you have numerous questions or you really want to expand on an idea versus the cards, unless you're doing multiple layouts, which really the runes aren't good with. They're very, again, that directional nature of them, then channeling works better. So I like it for many people
Yeah.
because it's very, I was going to say intuitive, but it's very connected to the individual. So,
I love that. So do people write all their questions before a session with you, or does it just come up naturally in the
no.
session?
I ask them many times to come prepared, that
Okay.
this is a sacred time we have with each other. It's limited. Readings are expensive. Let's not waste either the time or the financial exchange. And so if they come with an intention, they come with questions and concerns, then that way we can dive right in and we can use all of the 60 minutes, the 30 minutes, whatever, for really getting the clarity that that individual needs on the issue or issues that they're facing. So that's what I ask them to do. And I ask them to record it, or to at least write it down. Because as you and I have stated, there's nothing up here afterwards, you know?
There is nothing. It's gone,
Yeah.
gone,
Nothing.
gone.
I take pictures of the layouts, if they haven't recorded it, so that they can see the cards and the runes, if we're doing both or one or the other, so that they can, you know, when they listen to the recording afterwards, they can really kind of go, oh, this, and this connects. Yes, I understand it better.
Oh my goodness, so cool. I want to say thank you so much for being with us today as we come to the close of our interview. One quick question before we go. Do you offer the readings? Are they only in person or are they online too? Like, how does that work?
Well, everybody knows since the pandemic, we've done mostly online. And so I do most online, but if I'm, say, I'm down visiting family in Hamilton, I will book some clients if they wish to have in person. I do even the animals by Zoom. I don't mind that, particularly for the deceased ones. But if there is an issue, like a health issue, I like to be on site and see what other energies are really prevalent in the environment.
Okay, then. So, for anybody that is interested in connecting with Teresa, I will have all her information in the show notes on the YouTube channel, on the podcast. Her website is teresabintuitive.com, but I'll have all those links there too. I want to say thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
spending this time with us. You were so much fun.
So thank you, Maria. It was lovely seeing you again, but also for this opportunity to share my work. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Teresa. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. You can go over to my Instagram at Maria Gonzalez Medium and let me know what you thought of today's episode. Would love to hear from you. Or join my free Facebook group. Link is on my website, and join the conversation. Again, thank you so much for listening.